Well, I am back with Dr. Rangeris, and I know it had to be an exciting weekend for you and John Moran getting to go to Pinehurst and being honored for the work on the new book. Tell us about that new book and what it took to put this together. I hear it's a big, heavy one. John said, don't drop it on your toe.
Thanks, Rory. Good question. So, you know, I think the book, really, when you break it down, it's almost a new genre in the landscape of golf history. And I think that's what's really exciting. Having been the librarian at the USGA Museum for many years, I probably saw 8,000 or 10,000 books that I would describe as club histories, like telling the origin story and the history of a club through the years. And what John and I thought to do here was something different, and I'll call it a golf course history rather than a golf club history. So it's not the history of a golf club, it's the history of the golf course, how it came to be, how it's been stewarded through the years by the extraordinary people at Chicago Golf Club, and sort of what it means to the golf community. And if you're going to write a golf course history rather than a golf club history, you need to ask a different set of questions and probe a little bit differently how to tell the story of a golf course, how to describe a golf course. And to do that really in a rich and sort of creative way, using a tremendous amount of photographs, original drawings, sketches, and of course the written word. And I think that's what people are responding to so positively, is it's not the sort of standard tried and true formula of a golf club history. It's sort of something fundamentally that's new and different, that looks at the creative genius of Seth Rayner, looks at how that creativity was expressed on this amazing landscape at Chicago Golf Club, and does its best to tell the story for people who know the course well or for people who have never been there.
Well, the book comes with somewhat of a significant price tag. It's not in the $29.95 window, but as a result, if you are fortunate enough, well, like I am, to have the Centennial Book History of Chicago Golf, how much difference will it be when you look in your book to see what's been written about the Chicago Golf Club?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously the Ross Goodner book that you're referring to, it's a wonderful history of the club, in which the Seth Rayner story, the story of his creation, you know, maybe occupies 1/20th of that book. So we've taken, you know, 10 pages from Ross's book, and we've turned it into 300 pages that focus on Rayner. Rather than one photograph of each hole on the golf course, there's 15 photographs, if you look through the book, on each hole of the golf course. Really detailed and precise architectural drawings of each hole and the features. And fundamentally, a much richer and deeper story than what Ross was able to do in the Centennial book. We, starting from this sort of wonderful moment of Seth Rayner sitting in the clock tower, iconic clock tower at Chicago Golf Club, and staring out for 2 days at this landscape, we're able in the book to get deeply into the creative process that surrounds, or that's implicit in, the discipline of golf course architecture, and tell the story of an artistic creation in ways that just aren't possible in a shorter text. So while there's parallels in the subject matter, it is, of course, both books are Chicago Golf Club. By focusing singularly on the golf course and wanting to just provide a really deep and engaging experience, with that golf course, you end up with a very, very different product.
Well, for those of us who have been extremely fortunate to have had the opportunity to play both Shore Acres and Blue Mound up in Wisconsin, does the book cover Seth's work at those two facilities?
Sure. You know, it's hard to talk about one of Seth Rayner's golf courses without, in a way, talking about all of them. And understanding, looking closely at the relationships, the similarities and the differences between Rayner's work, you know, for Chicago Golf and whether it's Blue Mound or Shore Acres or Fisher's Island out in New York or Mountain Lake down in Florida. There are similarities and there's differences. You know, some of that has to do, and for folks who know Rayner well, there's this series of holes that have been referred to as template holes. Starting with his friend Stephen McDonald, studying the great holes in the British Isles, identifying those holes and trying to replicate them in some ways on American soil. You know, holes like a Redan hole or green complexes like a Punch Bowl green, a short hole, an Eden hole, right? There's these types of holes and templates for holes that first McDonald and then Rayner will copy across their designs. And in the book, we show examples of Redans at multiple golf courses, of Edens at multiple golf courses. So you can see and understand that that templates aren't just cookie cutters. Those holes aren't absolutely identical at each place, but there's subtle modifications. There's changes in sight lines. There's changes in symmetry. There's changes in the scale and massing of the features on each Redan that make it unique to its particular landscape. So if you know some of those other golf courses, you're going to see them. But what we truly, really try to get deeply into is helping the reader understand and appreciate where the differences are and why those differences might have happened. And I think it makes a much richer story for Seth Rayner, a much more engaging story about sort of his creative process when you realize that he wasn't just working with a cookie cutter. He was working with a concept and creatively finding ways to adapt or morph that concept in new and different locations.
Well, I know that, you know, there's several great types of holes that you hear about when you look at the work done by, whether it's McDonald, whether it's Rayner or Tillinghast, some of these older architects who just obviously nailed some of the designs that they've done. And it's so different from what we see today. And it's got to be interesting to say, well, you know what? How did they come up with the idea for a punch bowl? How did they come up with an idea for a Varan? You know, how did they come up with a, you know, Baritz, you know, things like this, because they all really have a neat look to them.
Yeah, yeah, they really do. And the jumping off point, I mean, if you look at what McDonald's process and I'll call it McDonald's education was when he went over to the British Isles, there was a lot of discussion in the United States. Golf is fairly new in the United States in the late 1890s, early 1900s. People are trying to identify the best golf course. And the community sort of reaches this consensus. It says, while there are individual great holes in the United States, there's no great golf course in the United States. What would it look like? What if we imagined and dreamed what the ideal golf course would be? And to try to solve that problem, answer that question, like McDonald goes over to the British Isles, makes a couple trips over there, spends quite a bit of time, talks with experts, talks with leading players, comes up with this sort of list of what are the great holes, and he goes and he studies them. And what he's really looking at is the strategic nature of it. So why is a great hole a great hole in terms of, you know, how you play the hole? What does it require in terms of the shot, the shape of a shot, the trajectory of a shot? What are the features that make that hole really interesting? And he comes back with this set of ideas, a set of concepts about strategically what makes a great golf course. He and Rayner partner, and they build this first ideal golf course. That's the National Golf Links out in, say, Southampton on Long Island in New York. And they build National, and it's a like seminal moment in the history of American golf course design where, like, intentionally they're striving and they're reaching, and I think a lot of people think they succeed in building the first truly great American golf course. Rayner learns a lot from McDonald. The guy had never played golf. He actually never played golf in his life, but he becomes this amazing designer of golf courses because he understands what the strategies involve, but he's also a brilliant artist. And I think, I hope that what the book really draws out and brings out is the artistry behind what McDonald did at Chicago Golf Club. And I think that artistic or creative process that starts in that clubhouse window, 2 days in the clubhouse window, staring out at the American Prairie, like that's the moment of artistic inspiration. And then Rainer goes out onto this amazing property, huge, vast, sweeping prairie landscape. And he designs what's one of the most iconic golf courses in the United States. So it's interesting how you can trace a conversation in the golf community from the late 1890s through the creation of the ideal golf course to this sort of explosion of creativity that happens on the Illinois prairie when Rainer actually gets out there and starts moving dirt around.
Well, you mentioned the word partnered together, and I got to ask you, how did this partnership form with you and John Moran at Chicago Golf Club? I'm assuming you two knew each other before you worked on the book, but what made you guys get together and try to be joint authors on this big book?
Yeah, I spent more than 30 years with the United States Golf Association, working specifically in their museum. And really getting to know deeply the history of the game. And my specific love was golf course architecture. I'm actually an art historian, art and architectural historian by training. And so I've always been drawn to this, you know, really creative, unique aspect of the sport, which is the golf course. Through that work at the USGA, I met many club historians through the years. And John, by reputation, and by example, you know, just one of the best club historians in the country. If every club could have a John Moran, we'd all have a much richer and deeper appreciation for club history, or golf history. I had stepped away from the USGA after 32 years and was starting my own business to get a little closer to the history of the sport, to spend more time doing what I love the most. And a friend of ours reconnected us, reminded us that we both knew each other, that we both shared similar passions and connections. And John reached out to me initially with a request to be an executive editor. He had this book concept. He wanted someone who knew the history of the game well and knew where resources were and how to research some of the questions he had. So I was just going to initially just sort of look over his shoulder and help out and assist and guide. And early in the project, went out to Chicago Golf Club, and we spent 2 days walking the golf course and talking about it and studying about it. And I think John realized I had a voice, a different perspective, because of my background in training as an art historian, that helped sort of enrich his understanding and appreciation of the golf course where he had played for 50 years and, you know, where he grew up and caddied and what he was passionate about. And he sort of turned to me and he said, look, I need you to be more than an editor shaping my words. I'd love if you could co-author with me. And it ended up being this sort of amazing experience. Here was, you know, someone like me who, of course, understood and knew Chicago golf well by its reputation, knew a lot about Rainer and McDonald, but had never studied it deeply in the way, didn't have the experience that John had for 50 years, but we could sort of bring together some new ideas, some new language, some new concepts with his experience and create something new and exciting.
Well, I got to believe it was also exciting to win the award this past weekend. When you first put this book together, do you think you'd qualify for that?
I don't know what we thought when we first put it together. I think, you know, we knew we had a special idea. And we set out from the start to create something that I think reflected the amazing legacy and history of Chicago golf. When you start with a club that's done so much for the game, when you start with this sort of amazing golf course that you get to write about, like, it's a tremendous source of inspiration. And I think the strength of what Rainer left for us, you know, what he created for that club, was such an inspiration to John and I throughout the project that it kept challenging us to do more, to think more carefully, to, you know, get better images, to make the book as as great as it could possibly be, simply to do Seth Rayner justice. And for me, I, you know, being the director of the USGA for 15 years, I was on the other end of that phone call many times. I participated in the book award selection process, and I got to make the call to the recipients to let them know. I think I never imagined I'd be on the receiving end of that phone call someday, and it was just an absolute delight and a joy for me, a sort of lifetime goal.